Welcome to the Hoop Strategy Podcast, brought to you by the Bayou Cityan. My name is Jesus Acevedo Jr. I'm one of your hosts, and I'm joined as I am week in and week out by the one and only Zodiac GM.
What's going on? What's going on?
Zodiac GM, we are about at the point of the season where every NBA team has more or less played about 9 to 10 games. You know, give or take, there's a couple teams that have 8 games here, but for the most part, 9 to 10. I think 10 games is a good barometer for teams to see who they have on their roster. What do you make of that statement, first of all?
I like it. It's a good starter just to kind of get a feel of how the chemistry is going to go and you know, feel the coach and the system and everything else. So, yeah, I like that.
I think it's also, you know, not the point where you're like, I need to make changes, but you're like, okay, maybe I need to change some of my lineups. You know the way I'm using players off the bench. You know, finding the right chemistry among the roster, right? So I think that's what these 10 games give you. You know, so in today's Hoop Strategy, faithful listeners, you know, we're gonna talk about some teams that are on some winning streaks, some teams that are on some losing streaks, and some teams' acquisition of a left-handed bearded player. And we're going to talk about a possible fire sale that could be happening from an Eastern Conference team that, you know, it's not the first time that these thoughts have been said that this Eastern Conference team could possibly have to make some moves. But, you know, so that before we get there, you know, we always have to educate our audience. So today I want to talk about air signs. And, you know, I tend to love air signs, and I think that's, you know, because I am a Gemini, so obviously, right, I would love air signs, and I think I come off as an air sign. Wouldn't you say so yet?
Definitely, very communicative, and yeah, that's one trait of an air sign. So for sure, yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so what can you tell us about air sign?
So air signs, okay, so the thing with the element of air, the first thing that comes into mind is ideas. So they're all about the ideas, the mind. So that's sort of like the air element main characteristic, right? So they take action. They're very powerful. They're adventurous, clarity, and it's all focused on the mind ideas, right? So the three air signs, we'll start off with the cardinal sign, right? So that's the cardinal sign of a Libra. Right. So for a mutable sign, those are the Geminis. And of course, the fixed signs will be the Aquarius. So you have Geminis, Aquarius, and the Libra. So those are the three air signs. So in general, though, you know, some of the basketball players, for example, some of the Libras would be Kevin Durant, the John Collins, Josh Giddey, Cade Cunningham. Those are all Libras. Some of the Geminis would be players like Lauri Markkanen, Evan Mobley, RJ Barrett, Benedict Mathurin, Jordan Poole. And also for Aquarius, you have Klay Thompson, Jalen Green, Darius Garland, Scoot Henderson, Jaden Ivey. Amen Thompson is also an Aquarius. So those are the element of air, and those are some of the players that fits under the each quality.
So air, you know, it's for me, the always comes to is the communication aspect, right? And I think each of the different signs, you know, air, Aquarius, Gemini, and Libra, they each use their communication skills differently, right? And in the case of Gemini, which is, yes, I'll remind the listeners, yes, I'm a Gemini. I think it's very convincing, you know, what do they say that a Gemini can walk out of jail just by talking, right? Or something to that effect, right? The gift of gab. And the reason I keep talking so much about it is because there's a certain coach here in the Houston that has led his team on a 6-game winning streak. And while he's not a Gemini per se, he's a Leo. And I'm talking about Houston Rockets head coach Ime Udoka. He's a Leo. He does have a Gemini moon sign. And that's what I want to talk about. Start off in this first topic in Hoops Charge is the Houston Rockets 6-game winning streak. Is that's what I feel has helped Ime Udoka get to this team, helping them understand how they need to play. You know, is that Gemini, that communicative side, is helping them reach this young team.
Exactly. So the first thing to understand, there's always the core, right? The sun. So, and mostly everyone already knows what their sun sign is, right? So in this case, Ime Udoka, he is a Leo. But the thing you got to consider is also their moon sign, which is typically the second in command, right? So what Ime Udoka's moon sign, which controls the emotional phase of his birth chart, is a Gemini, which is a mutable air sign, right? So think of it this way. His moon is being filtered through his core of a Leo, right? So at the end of the day, he's still a Leo, but he has traits of a Gemini being filtered through it. So that creates a combination of his type, his personality, right? So since he is a Leo, he does have a lot of charisma, but with that charisma, he brings a lot of communication skills. And that's one of the key things for a Gemini, right? And that's very valuable, especially if you're coaching a very young team. In this case, the Houston Rockets do have a lot of very young players, and you have to have that ability to communicate to each and every different type of personalities that, in this case, that the Rockets have. And Ime Udoka definitely has that, and I think that's a big advantage, and I think that's very important also for a coach to possess, right? Now, last year, they did have Steven Silas. Now, yes, he is a Leo, but also... Yeah, I also have to consider his moon sign again. So Steven Silas was a Leo sun, but with a Scorpio moon, right? So that's a little bit different because that combination is a little bit more powerful in a sense of what they strive for, their beliefs, because they are both fixed signs. So he was fixed dominant. He's a little bit stubborn as far as for his beliefs and his coaching styles or whatever the case that falls under those two elements, right? So that's a difference between Ime Udoka and, say, someone like Steven Silas. Yes, they both have advantages and disadvantage to both sides. But at the end of the day, every coach is unique. So in this case, as of now, it hasn't been 10 games yet, but Ime Udoka is showing some really, really valuable skills to present to his young Rockets team.
And, it's clearly, like we said, it's paid off huge dividends, 6 games in a row. They just defeated the defending world champions, Denver Nuggets. One of 4 teams to be in top 10 in offense and defense. The other 3, the Denver Nuggets, Boston Celtics, and Philadelphia 76ers. I don't know if it's too soon, right, to have Coach of the Year conversations, right? But Ime Udoka is clearly leading that charge. I think that goes without saying. And look, I think it's finally the organization has finally realized that the best player on this team for the past 3 years has been Alperen Sengun, and he's finally establishing himself as the Rockets' best player, which, look, he already was with the limited playing time that he was having under Steven Silas. And it's just like, a blessing in disguise also that they did get Brook Lopez. So they were forced to play Alperen Sengun all these minutes. And look, he's been providing dividends. But something that I want to ask you is, you told us in previous episodes, this Houston Rockets team has a lot of fake signs. The most of any team in the past 20 years, right? The last time I think you said what team it was in the last 20 years. I can't remember what team you said. But so how is this team working? Is it that the fixed signs, because you tell them, hey, this is your job, and they're like, okay, this is my job, I'm accepting it, and this is why this team with so many fixed signs is doing well right now?
Exactly. So the advantages of a fixed sign, right? Okay, so fixed signs, they are constant. They don't like change, but they do get the job done, right? So that's a big advantage for a fixed sign. And I did mention earlier in a couple episodes ago that if you do have too many of those, fixed signs in a roster, especially it has major roles, if there was to have a conflict or a disagreement of some sort or anything like that, then that's when conflict can arise because of that trait. Fixed signs are strong personalities in general. Fixed signs, first of all, are the Scorpios, the Taurus, the Aquarius, and also Aquarius and also the Leo. So those are the fixed signs in general. Like Sengun is a Leo. Jalen Green is an Aquarius. Amen Thompson's also an Aquarius. Dylan Brooks is an Aquarius. Jabari, he's a Taurus. So those are all dominant fixed signs. And that's what I mean by that. So the good thing is, yes, they do get the job done, and they always do everything to completion, right? Which is a great thing. And in general, the other quality that fits a fixed sign very well are the cardinal signs. So the cardinal signs are the ones that are great or initiating, because fixed signs are not really good at that, but they do complete it. So cardinal signs, they're good at initiating, but they're not good at finishing. And that's the reason why fixed signs and cardinal signs work very well together. Now, the only thing is, the Rockets don't have as many cardinal signs or even mutable signs to help. Actually, they do have the right pieces to immutable signs to help that. And players like Fred VanVleet, he's a Pisces. Jeff Green, he is a Virgo. And also a player like Aaron Holiday, who is a cardinal sign of Libra.
No, before you continue, it's funny you mentioned those last two players, Aaron Holiday and Jeff Green, because we have seen them more in the lineup, especially Jeff Green in some of these late four quarters. What does having Jeff Green in the lineup and Holiday, how does that change with their sign, you know, compared to all these fake signs when they're all on the court?
So one thing I did analyze is that, okay, initially, whenever their whole rotation was set, right, they had I had anticipated Londale, their center,
John Londale,
the Scorpio, yeah, to be a part of that rotation. And also Amen Thompson, of course. Yeah, he did get injured, but Amen Thompson is also a fixed sign. So those two players I factored in to that dominant of fixed signs. Now, unfortunately, Amen Thompson did get injured, right? And to replace him, as far as for rotational movement, is Aaron Holiday, which is a cardinal sign. I see that more as a plus, as far as for energies goes, okay? Doesn't mean that he's better than Amen Thompson or anything like that. This is just more for energies, because the energy of Aaron Holiday fits all of this fixed signs that the Rockets have. Also, another thing is, Jock Landale has his minutes have been limited. He's pretty much thrown out of the rotation. But with him being thrown out of the rotation, someone else has to get those minutes. And those minutes goes to Jeff Green. So Jeff Green sort of occupies that 5 and 4, that power forward slash center role in a sense. So he kind of fits those two positions. So he takes up those minutes, which is also another plus, because he is a mutable sign of a Virgo, which helps a lot with the rotation. So those two pieces, though it's minor and though they are bench players, I see it as a plus as far as for their synergy goes as a team compared to the other two fixed signs of Landale and Amen Thompson. So that's one thing that I noticed. But also, you have to give a lot of credit to Ime Udoka. His ability to adapt, which is, again, a big, big deal, especially in the NBA, especially after losing the first three games, is crucial, right, for a coach to have. And that's what I've seen him implement into this Rockets team. And not only that, it does look like they're all buying into his system, which is another big deal, factor that's needed by the players, because if he needs these players to buy into his system, especially fixed signs. So the thing with fixed signs is that they are slow moving, right? So it takes them time to adjust. Now, they will adjust if they see success into whatever movement that they're doing. So in this case, if it's winning and they see that, they're like, okay, we'll do that. Let's do more of that. It doesn't happen overnight. But now, since they're seeing it, especially with the help of veterans, which is another thing, another plus, veterans of Fred VanVleet, Jeff Green, Dylan Brooks himself, those are veterans, helps the younger guys kind of mold into the system, which is also another thing. So overall, I think you have to give a big plus to Ime Udoka for doing that. And that's the reason why he is a coach, and that's a big part of his job. And so far, he's doing a very, very good job at it.
You know, it's funny because they could easily be 9-1. Sorry, 8-1. You know, they blew that game against San Antonio, and I can remember the second one. So yeah, so they could easily be. You know, we'll see how long they take this winning streak. But another team that's really has been hot lately is the Minnesota Timberwolves. Now, the Minnesota Timberwolves, we haven't broken them down or heard from you, Zodiac, about the Minnesota Timberwolves. So break this down. Tell us what the Timberwolves, you know, where are they on the charge for chart?
Okay, so I'll be honest with you. The Minnesota Timberwolves, I didn't rate them as high as far as for the chemistry goes. The way I looked at their lineup initially, the factor I saw was that Edwards was sort of like the lone energy that kind of occupies that air fire dominance, right? So he is, the way I saw it is like, okay, he's sort of by himself, and then Rudy Gobert and Towns, they are compatible because they're Cancer and Scorpio, back to that fixed and cardinal mix, especially with water elements. So those two bigs, they're very, very compatible together, right? And when I saw that winning streak, I'm like, wow, this is great. So one thing you do have to consider, they are, I believe, number one in the league in defense.
Number one defense in the league.
Defense is a big, big factor. And in a sense, defense is defense when you have your system in place already set. The way I look at it, especially whenever I implement a lot of this analysis for the synergy, I mainly look at it on the offensive end and the synergy flow on the offense, because each and every player has to touch the ball and so forth, right? But whenever I saw that they are number one in defense, like, wow, that's a big plus for them. Also, their coach is a Scorpio who's very compatible to Rudy Gobert and Towns. But not only that, there's one piece that I'm missing, and that's Mike Conley, right? Mm. So Mike Conley, he is a Libra, a cardinal sign of Libra, which is extremely compatible to Edwards. Now, last year, they did have, I can't remember his name, who went to the Lakers, Russell, right? Now, Russell was a Pisces running the point. Now, Pisces and a Leo don't really mesh too well together. And that was Edwards' running mate last year. But now that he has Mike Conley as his running mate in the backcourt, that fits him very well. I see this synergy similar to what Boston has with Jrue Holiday and Porzingis. Remember when I mentioned that without Jrue Holiday, Porzingis was sort of like the lone wolf by himself without his best friend. But now, since he has an energy that's compatible to him, it kind of helps him with this chemistry, and that's what I see with Edwards and Conley.
And before, something that I also want to talk about is Anthony Edwards. I feel that this season he's going to enter that conversation of one of the best two-way players in the NBA, because I feel like in the games I've seen, in the highlights and the clips I've seen, like, his defense has ticked up, especially the Boston Celtics game. You know, he took it upon himself to guard Jason Tatum, and you know, so it's what can you tell us about Anthony Edwards' astrological profile? You know, what kind of player is he?
Well, he is a fixed dominant sign with the sun and moon. So he is a Leo, right? He is a Leo sun with an Aquarius moon. So that combination is fixed, right? And they're very strong personality, meaning that they're stubborn on their way. So his playing style is pretty much what you see, and that's pretty much going to stay the way it is. The thing with the Aquarius, they're sort of like the rebellious sign of the zodiac. So Aquarius out there, they're the ones that don't really like to listen. Like, if you tell an Aquarius, hey, I need you to do this, just because you told them that, they're just going to do something different just for the heck of it. That's just the way their mentality is. They like to break the border of normal, right? So they are original, they're unique, and that's just the way they are. I mean, you see Aquarians like Michael Jordan, kind of does his own thing. You give them that freedom, they do better. Hakeem Olajuwon was also an Aquarius. You kind of give them that freedom to, you know, what maybe in the offense, and they tend to do better. Now, what's interesting enough is that there's another player that plays for the Houston Rockets that has the same astrological sun and moon as Anthony Edwards, and that is
Alperen Sengun.
Exactly. So they have the same sun and moon combination, that rebellious mentality on a moon level being filtered through their Leo charismatic type of personality. And
you see it too, you see it on the court. You see their passion on the court, both of them, you know. And you know, that's something, you know, we love to see. Last thing on the Timberwolves, because I really want to, I don't know if you mentioned their coach. No, because the coach has ties to the Houston Rockets, you know, but what can you tell us about how the coach, his son, and how that's playing a role into how the Timberwolves have started this season?
Oh, Chris Finch, he's a Scorpio. He's a fixed sign. So he is very compatible to Rudy Gobert, who's a Cancer, and also Karl-Anthony Towns, who's a Scorpio. Now, the three main pieces that comes off the bench for the Timberwolves, it's actually another big factor to their success, because Naz Reid, Alexander Walker, and Kyle Anderson, they're all Virgos, which is very compatible to their coach, which is a big deal, because if you're a coach, you want players to kind of listen. Of course, they're all going to listen to you, but you kind of want that one to count, that you can count on, and that as a coach that you know that's not going to gripe or say anything negative or just act to have a negative body language or anything like that. Virgos, they're more like the givers. They want to make everyone around them happy, right?
And they're mutable signs. Like,
exactly. They're mutable signs. They like to adapt, and that's just the way they are. And that's very helpful for a coach such as Chris Finch's the Scorpio sun sign. So that's also another big factor to their success, because he has players that will listen to him and do the job for him the way he wants it.
Mm. Yeah. So the Minnesota Timberwolves, we'll see how far they get. I think they're going to make the playoffs. I see it for them this year. I think, like I said, Anthony Edwards is taking that step up this season to be a great two-way player. One team that was expected to take a step up after a trade has not taken many steps. They've just taken a step backwards. That's the Los Angeles Clippers since the James Harden trade. Well, so yeah, what can you tell us? When the trade happened, we saw that first game. Yes, they lost, but you told us that actually logically they should click. So what's the friction? What's going on?
Okay, so there's two things that I can see as a possibility, right? Is back to their moon signs. Okay, so realistically, their starting five should be compatible, realistically, right? So one thing you can also consider, this could be just a preseason warm-up for James Harden, but that's a whole nother conversation. The matter of fact is that they're losing now, and this is the regular season, right? And there's a lot of fans out there that's upset and that's sort of pointing fingers at James Harden because they're losing. They were doing perfectly fine without him. They were great. They were one of the top teams. And now after four losses, they're like, hey, James Harden, what's up? So here's the thing. They do have three fixed signs that I'm looking at. Okay. Ty Lue, he's a Taurus. Russell Westbrook, he's a Scorpio. And Paul George, he's a Taurus. The reason why I mentioned those three in particular is back to the whole characteristic of a fixed sign. They don't like change. Right, they were doing good without Harden.
Yeah.
Okay. And for fixed signs to accept someone like James Harden, it takes time. Okay. So what I sense is that already they're already getting a feel of like, man, because Russell Westbrook runs the point. James Harden runs the point as well. Westbrook doesn't like that. I mean, he's not going to say it, but naturally his energy doesn't accept that type because he wants to have that freedom. He does have a Sagittarius moon, which you need to give him that sort of freedom to roam free for someone like Westbrook. But then his being filtered through a Scorpio sun, that's going to cause a little bit of conflict, right? Also look at Paul George. He is a Taurus as well, a fixed sign, but with the Leo moon. The Leo, you kind of need to give him the offense in a sense, or have a big factor in offense. So him being a double fixed sign, I can see out of all the stars that they have, I can see Paul George be the one that's, not saying anything publicly or anything like that. But deep inside, I can sense someone like Paul George is the one that's kind of like, man, I don't like this whole thing with James Harden, because he wants the attention, right? Think of a Leo. They want the attention. They want the offense to go to them. They want to be the star, right? Deep inside, that's just the way they are. Another Leo moon sign is someone like Luka Doncic, Klay Thompson. Those are Leo moon signs, right? So that's also another factor. And of course, the coach, he is a double fixed sign as well, with a Taurus and a Scorpio. And again, it does take time for them to accept change. Yes, astrologically speaking, they should be compatible with their core personalities, right? Because they're earth and water dominant. But they do have a little bit of, a little bit of tough threading to go through for now. And the way I see it, you know, give them some time and, you know, we'll see how it goes moving forward. But as of now, it doesn't look good for James Harden. And it would be crazy if he does ask for a trade or something ridiculous like that. I think people would just be like, oh, my God, just enough is enough.
Look, you know, if you faithful listeners haven't heard it by now, Valley Sports Southwest announcer Brian Damaris delivered an epic rant aimed at James Harden before the Clippers' recent game against the Mavericks. I urge you to listen to it. The actual video was taken down by the Valley Sports Southwest site or social media. Made a decision was made by Valley Sports Southwest executives. That's how bad Mr. Brian Damaris went at James Harden. He pretty much just, you know, told his whole chronological story about everything that he's done as a player, as far as, you know, demanding trades and this and that. But look, James Harden aside, let's put on our coaching hat on, right? What player? Because I feel that the decision has to come from the Clippers. They're going to have to trade their Westbrook or Harden, right? But I think because they made that trade for Harden, they're going to stick with Harden. So I think they're going to look for a trade partner for Westbrook. So that's kind of what I'm predicting is going to happen. I think, and it might be the best for both parties. So with that said, which, you know, it's kind of a bum deal for Westbrook, right? Because he was set as the point guard. Like he was to me, I would say he was the heart and soul of the team, you know, which I think they will lose if they trade him. But if they want this to work with James Harden, unfortunately, I think that's what's going to happen. I mean, you know, Westbrook and James Harden didn't work in Houston, right? It worked for a couple of months and then it didn't and it can never get back. But if they take Westbrook out of the lineup, like James Harden gets a point guard, like what player could slot in there that could help this lineup even more chemistry-wise?
I mean, they do have Bones Highland. He's a perfect fit for that. Are you talking about pieces to be traded or
no? Like
what they already have,
right? That could work with the horoscope signs.
Yeah, Highland, he's a Virgo. I think he fits right in easily.
Mutual, you know, yeah.
He's a mutual, immutable sign, and I think he fits perfectly. And James Harden also is a Virgo, of course, but he's more of a, you know, he has more of that star potential, that star potential, that star experience already, which he requires a lot of, you know, a lot of usage, right? So Bones Highland, I think since he's more of a limited role player, he's, you know, it fits a little bit better with the other stars that's in that lineup. So, but yeah, back to what you mentioned about, you know, Westbrook would be the odd man out. I mean, I don't think that's going to happen, to be honest. I think Paul George really likes Westbrook or prefers Westbrook, honestly. I think that's just the way his mentality, without him even saying anything, I think I could just sense that from someone like Paul George. Kawhi Leonard, I believe, is sort of either way, you know. But yeah, Harden just needs to step up. I think whatever it is that, you know, whether he needs to get back into playing shape or, you know, or whatever it is, I think he needs to get back. But interestingly enough, guess who the Rockets are playing this Friday?
Yeah, that's right. Los Angeles in Los Angeles. So that'll be interesting. And, you know, I hope we don't have to talk about James Harden next week. This is the third episode in the world we're talking about James Harden, you know. So we'll get off on James Harden and the Clippers. And we'll talk about the Chicago Bulls. That's the last topic we're going to talk about this week. And Chicago Bulls, I want you to break down this team for me, you know, because this is a very mixed team from what I see. I feel talent-wise, on paper, I feel like it's an underperforming team. But how does this team, how do you see it?
It is. It's all over the place. They don't really have a nice mix of synergy between even, you know, two players that plays major roles, right? DeRozan, he's a Leo. He is compatible to the coach, which is a Gemini, right? But that's good. But LaVine is opposite energies of those two. Vucevic is opposite energy of those two. Caruso and Patrick Wilson, Patrick Williams is also opposite energy of DeRozan and Donovan. And I think that's where the problem lies, right? I personally think that if they were to substitute, you know, either trade DeRozan for another player that's compatible to someone like LaVine, Caruso, Vucevic, and Patrick Williams, I think that's a big upgrade for them. But, and the reason why I mention that, because of the usage of what DeRozan has. And I think DeRozan and Levine doesn't really have that connection. I mean, you don't really hear people talk about, oh, the chemistry between Levine and you know, and DeRozan is great. You don't hear that, right? Because they really don't mix. Their energies don't really mix well. And yes, they are talented players, but it doesn't translate well onto the court. Not like someone like Jamal Murray and Jokic when they're very compatible and people see it and they sense it. You don't see that in Levine and DeRozan.
You know what I just thought of?
What was that?
Clippers should give the Chicago Bulls a call and be like, we got Russell Westbrook. You send us DeMar DeRozan.
Oh.
How would that work?
Hey, that could work. I mean, yeah, because I know DeRozan's been linked with the Clippers for some time, right? I believe, right?
Yeah. How would that work from a astrological point of view when you look at it like that?
Oh, not so well from a Clipper standpoint, but they do have enough talent to make it happen, right?
Yeah.
I think it's still going to work out real well for the Clippers. But for the Bulls, I think that's a plus. I mean, you mix in the Scorpio of Russell Westbrook with a Pisces element of Zach LaVine as the backcourt running mate. I mean, that's a strong synergy right there, and I think you'll get a sense of that. Now, you already kind of get a sense of that with Caruso and LaVine, but LaVine is more, he plays more of the six-man role, or he starts here and there because they have a Kobe White that starts majority of the games or plays a majority of minutes as well, which is opposite of those two. So he's also another energy that fits a position that's opposite, that doesn't really fit with the whole team scheme, right? So that's kind of reason why Steve Bulls is kind of all over the place.
Yeah, I know. It's when they made the trade for Nikola Vucevic, I thought they were going to take a step up, but I think it just hasn't really clicked. I think I would be surprised if we see this team, if they still stay on this course. I think they've seen enough of this team, of this roster, to probably make some moves in
fire sale. I'm telling you, fire sale.
it could be a fire sale and just see where you can get back. And look, maybe they get a couple pieces and they are a contender again. I'm not saying title contender, right? But a good, steady playoff contender. You know, there's going to be some players. I think this NBA trade deadline is going to be pretty interesting. One of the more interesting we've had one as far as the in-season trade deadline. But that is the fifth episode of the Hoopstrology podcast. Zodiac, any final words?
I'll be on the lookout for the Clippers versus the Rockets this Friday, of course. Yeah, just follow us on Hoopstrology on Twitter and the Zodiac GM.
There you go. Follow us and follow me, Jesus_Asimuda Jr. Follow the Bayesidian @TheBayesidian. And don't forget to subscribe. See ya.